This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
Get into our cozy fall living room. It's a Trim Healthy podcast. And oh, are we cozy today? Yeah, I'm going to date it. It's fall. I have to talk about the fall, people.
But Dan, you're kind of talking about the weather and not talking about the big event.
Yeah, there's, Danny, man, there's kind of a big deal going on today. You know what this might be?
What's happening, kids?
This is our 300th episode
of
this podcast.
We are ancient. I mean, 300 episode. So this is major, major party-ness.
I haven't done anything 300 times. Well, a couple things.
I was going to say the same thing. Name. Can anyone in this room name something that they've done
many
consecutively
things. Brush my teeth.
300 times?
Yeah, I mean, I'm starting to think of things now that you say brush
without
your teeth.
Without fail, because we've never missed an episode.
But have you done it? Okay, so think about that. That is literally almost 6 years. Of never, ever missing a party. I mean, can we give ourselves a pat on our back?
There we go.
That is not just Serene and I and the co-host Danny. That is Leslie Pops. That is John.
I'm sorry, would you call me?
The Danny?
No, you said something specific.
I said a co-host.
Serene, what are you guys?
We're the co-hosts.
Oh, okay. No, keep going. No, we're fine. There's nothing more to see here.
I'm sensing a payroll increase request coming here.
He tried that several times.
Checking.
Anyways, hey, you know what I think would be fun?
What?
I thought it would be a good idea. Let's spend this potty reminiscent. Let's go listen to some of the more historical moments that have taken place on this little endeavor of ours.
Okay.
And, you mean we have to bring no meat and we can just sit here and comment?
We're just going to sit here and comment.
Like one of those TV shows where they go look at all the work they've done and they
like
just
we've graduated.
There.
We've got 300 pods underneath our belt. We get to rest.
So what better place to start than where it all began?
But we need a name, though. We still need a name. I don't
want
to call it just freedom.
It's the potty. Don't you know that?
Honestly, the freedom potty.
I think
the freedom potty. P-O-D-D-Y.
People will think we're saying potty. P-O-T-T-Y.
I don't mind them think we're saying party.
Yeah, but it's our accent. Like Americans say party. Yeah, but potty is awesome. I mean, P-O-D-D-Y, it sets us apart from all the podcasts, too, because podcast to me already sounds boring, like I'm going to fall asleep.
A podcast.
We could call it the freedom potty and just let it fall where it may.
Potty almost sounds like freedom.
It does.
Freedom.
And I have to go to the potty right now. I'm bound until I go, guys.
That's a wrap.
I'm bound.
Was that clip when we were sitting in that hotel, like, boardroom, lunchroom
yes.
thing? Right there on the opposite side of the 40, that particular...
Yeah, it was like a Holiday Inn.
And you were eating sushi, Dan.
Oh, yeah.
From that one
Koi.
Particular place.
No, it's not Koi.
Do you know what about when I hear that?
What?
That I think now I know what people say when they come and listen to our potty and they say, I can't. It really took me a while to get those people because they talk over one another.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if we've gotten any better, but we were just literally shouting over
one
another.
We were on steroids back then. Do you know what I was doing when he was eating his sushi around that table? I remember the button was recording. We were talking. I remember him picking up his little sushi with his, like, professional chopsticks. He thought he was so, like... awesome, like
no,
half
they're just,
Mexican,
they're just
half Asian.
Regular chopsticks. That's how you eat sushi.
But guess what? I was drinking a yuck yum.
And now
just
you're
like
about
I
to
am.
Pour yuck yum down your throat again. And
you know
she
what
does it.
It brings up for me is how I was sort of completely lost. This was my first like real hosting gig.
Yeah, but we didn't invite you to host. You pushed your way in. We just found you there.
Yeah, but I mean, it was like when you were like, all right, I'm on the podcast, right? It was time for me to say stuff. And I remember feeling like I didn't want to step on your toes.
Really?
I didn't know. I'm not a health expert. I still don't consider myself a health expert.
We put you there for safety, Dan, because I remember, you know, like a mile down from there.
Put him
just
there.
Wait. A mile down from there at our THM offices, I remember walking in and Danny was on his rolling chair. Rolling up and down the aisles between the offices, playing. How fast can I get
it's
to the
no
one end
I
of
got
the other?
Fired.
We put him there for safety so we could just, you know, make sure that everything was going to be fine while we were away from the office.
I just remember that whole potty thing, not wanting to be there, not wanting to do it, thinking the whole idea of a podcast was stupid. I thought no one would listen. And, well, you shouldn't go with your gut instinct because here we are 6 years later. Yeah. And... wow. Who knows?
But this is the most fun I get to do at THM. We call it TH now, right? Trim Healthy.
Yeah, TH.
This podcast gave me a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
Like it made me like...
Did it promote your... Did it like spur on your career, Dan Dan?
I think what it did is like... It was like the first time... You know how it's kind of like... I don't know. You're somewhere and you don't ever know about something and somebody's like, have you ever heard of ice cream? And then you're like, oh, now I'm into ice cream. You know? I mean, I don't know.
Oh, so now you realized it's not my working in a cubicle that I'm going to do with the rest of my life. It's my voice. It's
yeah,
my talent.
Yeah, because I kind of came to you guys with this, like, I want to be in the entertainment industry, but I was just lost. I had no clue how or when, and here I am at a desk, and I was just sort of like, what's going on?
You weren't at a desk. You were rolling your seat up and down that aisle.
You couldn't stay.
Yeah, you know, Danny, you had mentioned that this podcast gave you confidence, and I'm your buddy. I'm your brother. I think we've watched each other grow in many different ways over the course of this podcast. But I think you gave something to everybody via this podcast, and just like all things that are really, really, truly awesome and beautiful and valuable, it was kind of unplanned. So that being said, why don't we listen to this little piece of history? And I think it'll make for some good discussion afterwards. So let's check this one out.
Last night, my wife and I are driving home from a friend's house, and it's pouring down rain. In our little minivan, the headlights are kind of bad, so the visibility's bad. And every time a car comes our way, you know, the oncoming headlights are even further blinding. And in my head, I've got all my kids in the van, and I'm like, man, I got to get new lights. I can't see a dang thing. And the more I said that, it seemed like the worse it got, okay? And then I forgot an old question that a friend of mine taught me to ask. And I asked this question: what would it be like if I could see really, really well right now? And if this wasn't a problem, what would it be like? And so I went, what would it be like if I actually had such like crazy good vision that even while everyone else around me couldn't see, I could actually crisply shoot right through this windshield and really discern and know what I needed to do? What would that be like and how would I drive? And I'm telling you, let's go new age if we want to go new age, okay? But I'm telling you, it got like 50% more clear. And I know that it did not physically change anything. Right. What changed was my wherewithal.
Yes.
And so here's the question.
Your wherewithal.
Here's the question. I've just been deeply listening and you're talking about, you know, when you just fall off the wagon and you're like, man, I blew it again, or I can't do this. What would it be like if you could?
I love it. Hi, Danny.
Is it the potty tea?
Are we handing you the keys to the podcast right
now? I'm telling you, it's worth the whole podcast. Am I right?
You are right.
You know what? Anything it is.
Great.
Oh my gosh! I've gained those 5 pounds right back, and I can't do this. But what would it be like if you could? What would you eat if you could do it? What if you had a movie role you had to prepare for, and you were a superstar, and you had to be, and you were going to make millions and millions of dollars, and you had to do this? What would it be like if you could? What would tomorrow's morning look like if you could?
Because that's the thing, we all can.
And that was the earliest known first mention of those magic words that came out of your mouth that, it changed a lot. That changed a lot of people's lives.
Changed my life.
If you could.
And hey, didn't it launch your book career, Danny?
Yeah, there's a 3-year run there of a book career, I guess. Yeah.
No, but how many times have I asked, since you said that, how many times have I asked myself that? It's been profoundly, profoundly impactful.
Oh, every day. Every day I tell my children or myself, what if you could? But Dan, when John was saying how, you know, you may have gained some confidence, you know, from being here at the party, but there's so much more that we have gained from you being here. I just want to say, you know, there's been so many times, well, not so many times. There's been a few times when you've run from this party because we haven't paid you good enough, right? And I tell you what, every time we've tried to pull the party off without Dan, it's a big old boring nothing. Mm. And you have given so much this party because, you know, it's like without you, it's kind of a little bit it's empty. So you have, I mean, you've given the glue to this thing.
Imagine me alone, though, without you two. I mean, I would be like, I would just be lost. Like, I need a container.
Yeah, you kind of do.
Yeah, I'm like
need
water.
A container. And Serene's not going to contain you, but I will.
Yeah, yeah. You know, what sticks out to me is how hard I've rebelled against my country accent.
Well, hold on.
When I listen to that back, I'm like, man.
You hear more of an accent?
I hear a country accent.
Do you? I don't hear it.
Yeah, it's thick.
Well, he's professional now. He's with the LAians.
LAians? LAians.
Hey, can I tell you something crazy?
Yeah.
I was at the skating rink.
Who goes to skating rinks?
He does.
Anymore?
He's a skatehead.
Legends.
Okay.
Legends go. And if you go, have you?
And he's wearing skating.
Have
hair.
You ever?
Do you
been?
Rent the
they
stink
just come
shoes?
With $4. Comes with the shoes.
Yeah, but who's been wearing those things? You sniff
way
it.
Way too
back.
Many people.
The 80s are back, just so you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I think about it the
you
whole
spray
time.
Spray it out?
No, I start to sweat. And
COVID I'm, spray?
Yeah, they probably don't. And I sweat in those, and then I think about maybe I'm itchy. And maybe it's not me that's itchy. It's Frank, who was wearing the skates before I put them on, who
it's
was
definitely
itchy.
Definitely Frank's itch.
And now I'm itchy.
But you're telling me skating's back in.
Yes, but this is our 300th episode.
Out,
it's
sister.
Not about skating. Skating's back in.
It never went out. And you know what would be bonkers? A content shoot with this squad at the Brentwood Skate Center.
Yeah.
Come on, people.
We should skate. I would totally skate. I used to be a massive, incredible skater.
Oh, man. I will buy my own.
I had my own skates. I didn't
Did
even
you?
Need to rent.
Are you, can you skate?
You're a good skater too, Leslie
ben?
Pops. John, are you a skater?
Can you tour manage
John,
us
are you
and
a
get
skating?
Us there?
He is. Like, skating is his
okay,
whole
we
image.
Are skating on a podcast.
So here's the deal. I'm at the skate center, okay? And my daughter is using the little, there's these little things that you hang onto and they have wheels and they sort of prop you up if you can't skate, if you're falling down. It's for kids.
Mm-hmm. Training wheels, yeah?
Training wheels of sorts made out of PVC. She's hanging onto these with one hand and holding my hand with the other. And she is just like help because I can't skate, right? And then, because this totally reminds me of this and it's crazy how like it's just everywhere. And I was like, but pretend that you could skate and that you knew how. What would you do right now if you knew how to skate? She lets go of the PVC crutch, lets go of my hand, and is roller skating by herself for the first time. She just didn't believe that it was possible, you know? But that, so it reminded me of that, like hearing that, hearing myself tell me that story, it's like, oh, that stuff is thick, man.
It is so
Isn't
thick.
It interesting when you hear some profound statement from years ago that you've kind of forgotten the life juice of?
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa.
Well, you may not quote stuff. It every day, but it becomes part of your DNA. If you'll take on a mantra, you know, it can become part
but
of your
DNA. But I
think DNA.
Because you came with it, you came with that quote to us, right? You might not have quoted it every day, but I have quoted it to myself almost daily.
Wow.
So it had a huge, huge impact on my life. And I remember what you said, you know how John just played that clip and you said, imagine, you know, you're going to be a role in a movie and they're going to pay you millions of bucks. You know, I do that with myself sometimes. Like I immerse myself
you're like,
in a new
I do
role.
That with my fatherhood. Yeah. I remember him saying that, you know, I come in like the dad when I'm home from work as if I'm being shot in a film and everybody's watching.
It's sort of like twofold. It's like, well, what if you could? But then it's also, what would it be like if you could?
Yeah.
Because that triggers emotions to rise up.
Yes.
How would I feel and what would I do? What would it be like if I could? That's another.
Right, because it takes us away from the behavior modification thing where we're just struggling and we're just trying and we're just striving and we're ticking it off the list. God, I have my protein with my breakfast. Takes it all of that away. And then it infuels our heart with passion because it's there. Once something
because
is filled
you
with
are
passion,
the professional protein.
Once something is filled with passion, it doesn't go away. It sticks.
Yeah.
And so that's when we become, that's when we do it.
You get an instant at least 35% skill increase.
Yeah, you do.
Just by asking that yourself that question.
What if you could?
Because you when you're doing something, you like, I'm all jazzed now listening to this, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Anyways, but it's like there's this you sort of sabotage and you don't know you're doing it. Even in like cooking.
Yeah.
It's just an overcooked or whatever the problem is. Like with any little detail thing, we don't know how like micro sabotage-y we can
be. Yeah, I know. Got any more for us, John? I'm ready to hear my own voice over and over.
My turn's over.
It's funny you mention that because Danny, now I and all of you, I don't know if this was how it was intended to be, but this was my interpretation of it. So Danny kind of coined that "what if you could" phrase.
I got it from my friend Brett Walker.
Oh, you did. Right,
well, he asked me just in a private conversation. I don't think he meant a big deal about it that I knew of, but
wasn't making a saying. He just said those words.
I don't know.
Maybe. Do you still have contact with Brett
occasionally?
Yeah. Well, maybe you ought to send him this
telling
episode.
It went huge.
Yeah. But anyway, so you uttered that phrase inspired by your buddy Brett, and it definitely encouraged and inspired a bunch of people. I know it went crazy on the groups, and it just kind of became part of the vernacular that we all used. And again, I don't know if this was intended, but I think it might have inspired another phrase that has also gone on to have a life of its own. And I think I found where that phrase was uttered for the first time. So let's take a listen.
But you see, I had this much higher and better snack waiting for me at home. And it was avocado in lettuce boats. Oh, seasoned up. I'd been having them the last couple of days and great. And then my trimmy with my collagen for my protein. And I'd been dreaming about it all day long.
You'd made it up before you got home.
No, I hadn't made it up. I had the avocado there ready to go, ripe. It would have not have lasted another day and it would have been bad. I had the lettuce boats already and my mind was ready for it. My body, it was going to do
It's almost
good.
Like you woke up in the night and had the thought.
It was just
like it was prepared there.
Yeah, my body needed it. It was going to be good for my body. It was going to keep me on track. It was going to be ultra slimming. You know, it was going to help to take those 3 pounds off that I cheesecaked out, you know. And so they drove through McDonald's. And really, it was about a 40-minute journey home. And I would have been, you know, about half hour late for my snack. So it would have been 4 hours and 4.5 hours instead of 4. Now, we always say eat every 3 to 4 hours, right? And that's great. We don't need to go too long. But you see, I knew that I was going to do better with that snack at home, and that McDonald's meat, it just wasn't for me that day. But usually I would have straight ahead and gone and had that. But you know what entered my head?
What?
No, I'm the girl that loves to wait for my reward.
I'm that girl.
Just drum roll, please.
Hold on. And it just hit me. This thought popped into my head. And then suddenly when they were driving through, because what happens to me is I can get that on plan burger, right, without the bun. And that's fine. Guys, if you're new, you're doing good if you get that.
Hey,
good
even 15 years in, totally fine. But you knew
but
what you
also
needed.
Also, what happens to me is when I usually get the burger, my children were getting fries because that's what they do when they drive through. I'm a fry snatcher. So I was going to have at least 6 fries, and that's about my limit, 6 to 8. And you know what? It wasn't going to be best for my body. I knew that if I had my little on-plan thing, I was also going to do a little fry snatch.
Okay, before we comment on that, who eats only 6 to 8 fries at a time?
Well, I might have.
I average 7. 6 to 8, but 7 usually.
12, I count things. I do 12 to 14 raisins in my oatmeal.
You count your raisins?
I do.
You don't just get a pinch?
No, I count my raisins. But you know what's so funny listening to that? Because that's the first time, you know, I mentioned I'm that girl. And it started off so practical with food, right? But then it morphed into this whole identity of like mindset. And it's so weird looking to the way it birthed and then to what it's grown
How
into.
How many years later do we write that book, I'm That Girl? 4 or 5? It came out
definitely
about 5 years later.
4 or 5 years later.
Yeah.
And then thinking about the way I look at it now, but it's just funny because ideas can just be birthed in the smallest of ways and grow and they're watered. That mm-hmm. was a seed.
I remember from that day onwards, we started saying it here and there till a waterfall happened and we were constantly saying it. I'm that girl that's going to do this. I'm that girl that's going to do that. We totally changed our way.
So the first one was I'm that girl who, what was it? Who wants to wait for her reward.
Right.
That was the first thing. And I didn't think more about it, but now it's, hey, I'm that girl who lives in peace. Yeah. I'm that girl who honors her body with wide choices. It's so much huger than that, but it's so amazing listening to that first seed and how a seed is watered. And then, Serene, you're right, and then it's like a rushing river.
Yeah.
So we don't despise the day of small beginnings, right?
That's right.
Because now that I look back and I heard it, I'm like, golly, I'm that girl. It was just all about driving through McDonald's, but but you shouldn't despise that.
That's right.
Hey, you're listening to The Potty with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Potty with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Here's another thing I thought would be fun to reflect upon.
Do it, Casey Kasem.
Yeah, there you go.
It's the top 20 meltdown with John Gussie.
Rarely do we get through a potty without Serene mentioning some sort of body fluid.
Oh, I have to go pee?
Yeah.
I have to pee now.
And who could possibly forget this classic?
I have a shower potty.
That's nice. That's really nice.
It is so weird. When you said that, everyone was picturing you peeing in the shower.
Have you ever done a coffee enema? You would design a potty deep inside your internal shower system.
But everyone who has been a nursing mama or a pregnant mama, right, and you don't have time in life.
Okay, I'll pee in the shower. Yes, but not poop. And that's what I thought that you were going to say.
Peeing in the shower, that's a different story. That's the best.
No, I mean, I don't.
The warm water hits you and it's just like, now is the time to let it go.
Hey, being vulnerable, it's an every time occurrence for me.
No, it's not.
Not the poop, the pee.
Yeah.
No.
Have you not heard of ammonia cleaners?
John's screaming sippers.
John is telling us to go to sippers. But I'm saying, I thought that was for only when you're pregnant.
I do sippers, people. It makes you pee in the shower.
Leslie pees in the shower.
Hold on. You get out and pee and then get back in?
I save it for when I'm out. I feel wrong.
You hold it and hurt?
That means you're running on the hardwood floors and reckon you're good bamboo.
So what about spa
just
time?
To pee? I have a long shower.
How do you have spa time with a busting gut?
You either pee before or after the shower, except when you're pregnant and desperate.
But I drink in the shower.
Oh, you
a special, nice, cold, all right, gentle sipper.
When that warm water,
I like to drink in a boiling hot shower.
Look, when it hits my body, I am desperate.
Boiling hot right now.
I mean, you feel does the warm water ever hit your body and you
weird.
Go, I'm not desperate to pee right now. No, you're like, I have to pee or I'm going to
take
down
a school. Okay, we're doing honesty check then.
John Sovereign,
you speak the truth because Leslie says she's a peer in the shower. Serena is in Danny.
But never a pooper.
Okay, John Sovereign.
I have my
Are you a peer in the shower? Be honest. John is too. I'm the only
one. Not being honest. She's not.
Why would you not pee in the shower?
I would pee when I was. My husband has a shower after me.
It goes down a drain. It's water.
Down. It feels wrong. Feels a bit.
Do you know that pee is quite sterile? Not that I'm ever going to drink it with that kind of group. Pearl,
yes.
Can I ask you if you've amended your ways and come to the bright side of life?
Well, what was so funny after that potty?
Don't change the subject.
No, it is on subject.
Okay.
Like it got such a reaction from people. I remember the next day the Facebook was just lit up with comments like, oh my goodness, someone just normalized shower peeing. And they were doing hashtags, normalized
shower peeing.
Me too,
right?
Peeing.
Me too movement.
Yeah, me too shower peeing. So since then the stigma kind of got a little washed away and I always pee before,
okay.
But now if it needs to come,
okay,
I let it come.
You know what? Good, Pearl. And that's growth.
Yeah, that is growth.
You know, that's growth. We've come a long way. Even during when we were listening to the clip, I saw you in a little denial.
Yeah.
And then I saw you switch.
Yeah.
Right.
You had a gear switch and you said, I'm that girl who's more vulnerable and I'm going to be honest now and say what you've shared.
I think it's a sign of maturity.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
this shows how this potty has really helped us, right?
Yeah, we've grown a lot.
What has Ben?
I was doing here my rolling my roving reporter on the street mode here. Now I think it's unanimous. All five of us, have admitted to peeing
in
the shower.
But mine's not just for desperation. And mine's just for
enjoyment.
Brother Ben.
No, it's just pure pleasure. Is there a better time to pee?
Well, it's
a very toxic free zone. You know, it's just release.
Release.
But let John have his interview.
Brother Ben, some of you know him as Prof.
Yeah.
Of Treasure Hunters fame. Come on, buddy. On the spot.
Ben, if you lie, I'm going to ruin you.
Do you pee in the shower, yes or no?
I'm actually surprised that this was a conversation and there was more than one person in the room that wasn't.
Because so you are a peer.
Thank you.
You are married to a beautiful...
Right. Okay. I was nervous.
Hold on. You are married to a beautiful millennium woman. Do you know if she is a shower peer?
She's repulsed by the fact that I pee in the shower.
Ah, get out. See, yeah. There's a lot of women
get
alone.
Out. Set her free. She needs freedom.
I think they say they're repulsed.
Ben, there's room for growth for her.
I think they say they're repulsed, but everybody has picked their nose in private, but they wouldn't say it in public.
Yeah, but here's the deal. When we first started talking about shower peeing, I was only an emergency shower pee, except when I was pregnant, because when you're pregnant, you can't hold pee. And I would allow it to happen.
I can hold pee all day when I'm
pregnant.
But
I would kind of feel a little bit, this is not proper, Pearl. Then after we came out with the potty and it was all normalized, I have let the pee come more easily.
That's fair. I want to talk to you about it. There is a time and a place for everything. You know how the Bible says?
Yes.
A time for laughing, a time for weeping. Well, I find that there's times for peeing. And if you're in a plastic shower curtain, you do not pee.
Oh.
You only pee on ceramic and glass.
Okay.
And stone.
Dennis, yeah, like, I'm not listening
to you. And grout.
You feel it's porous? Never
on then.
Yes,
you've been to many a hotel, motel. You've been to even nice motels that cost you, let's just say, not under $80. $150 a night, you still may get a shower curtain. You won't pee in that shower serene?
I never pee on a shower curtain.
It's
or anywhere where a shower curtain could pick up the steam. Now, that is very, very, that's just part of the, like, higher learning of peeing in the shower.
Yeah. You're in an advanced shower urinator.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Oh, well, so we've, you know, probably lost a few more listeners today as well on our 300th episode.
But I just want to say that just the higher learning, too, of shower peeing, to me, the shower is a very cleansing process.
Yeah.
Not just of the external, but the internal. So I like to drink heartily, and then
literally
I drink.
You prepare.
And I replace the water and I let it go and then replace and let it go
I do want to say this is not part of our Trim Healthy Mama protocol for all those newbies listening for the first time today.
Yeah.
Okay. Just so you know. And Serene's book, when is it coming out?
You're that girl who prepares to pee in the shower.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. You know, just to be clear with this newfound freedom, if you poop in the shower,
no, you don't.
You're a filthy animal.
Yeah.
Yes, but I do poop in the shower.
What?
But let me tell you about it.
No. Stop. Tim.
Let me explain.
Tim,
let me explain. I have a built-in toilet.
Can you see my mouth in your imagination hanging?
Just listen.
Open.
Not over the drain.
What?
I have.
Where do you go, sister?
Listen. In my shower. Because we built our house. We didn't buy it. We built it.
Nook?
No. We have a toilet within our shower in its own glass walls.
No,
so you have a shower because I don't want to go out.
Hold on. Is the water coming down on you while you're pooping?
On the toilet?
No.
That would be epic, though.
It's just you go into the shower. You shower. Ew. You can go in further inside into another room and it's the
Who
potty.
Who designed this disgustingness?
Wow. Well, it's just that the door to the potty could not fit on the outside wall.
Okay.
It was a mistake. So you go through the glass door into the shower, then open another glass door and then you're the potty.
I do have to say your whole house is kind of interesting like that.
I love your house for that reason.
It's wild art.
Yeah, it's art.
Wild art.
Even the room, what I love about your house, and that's so illustrative of it, is the eclectic. Like, even in the structure itself, it's art.
Oh, it's
like,
hot.
Some people, you know, they'll do a standard structure that's all functional or whatever, and then they'll get artsy with the paint colors and everything. But you guys got artsy with, like, room layout, and, like, you have this...
They didn't get artsy. It became that way by mistake.
No, literally, I didn't want a swinging door into the other area of my bedroom, so we just walked through the tile lovely. Beautiful glass shower, glass and electric blue tile. And
support.
We just walk through to the other nice glass door, sterile, and we pull that open.
Yes.
And then there's
Is one of you showering
toilet.
And one of you pooping?
Never.
Never.
Are you sure?
I shall, no.
Yeah, I couldn't.
I've never, ever let anyone lay eyes on me on the toilet.
Okay, so I've got another question. Does Sam know that you pee in the shower?
Oh, I've never told him. And he doesn't listen to the potty, so please.
I literally
because Serene tries to tries to convey the fact to her husband that she would never pass wind.
Never,
she would never go to the bathroom.
Never,
she's just this little
I'm
perfect
a fairy
doll.
From another
she
world.
She would never pee in the shower, so this is only for your ears only.
Hey Siri, text Sam Allison. Wow. Well, do you guys ever let guests use that toilet?
No, that's our bedroom.
That's your master.
Yes,
suite.
It's our master suite.
They have a suite. Yes.
Sweet indeed.
Well, you see, we have this kitchen where we do date nights. I have a kitchen and everything, a sauna in my room, and
that
I needed room.
Used.
Okay.
It's got all your dirty laundry in it.
No, not dirty laundry. My beautiful clean clothes. It's my closet right now.
Next, John.
Oh, well. Wow. There are some things you just can't unhear and unknow.
I have been in your bedroom, John. It's an interesting experience, too.
Yeah,
that just sounded all wrong. Please put context to that.
Hey, he takes people on tours when you visit John's house.
Thank you.
Yes.
His bedroom is his exhibit A.
It is.
I have lots of things on my wall and shelves, and yeah, it is an interesting bedroom.
It's like a music museum.
Yeah.
It's a museum. John's house is a museum. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Hey, real quick, I want to take a moment to thank, I want to, pulling these clips together was a bit of work. And we've got some amazing, amazing people that work behind the scenes for us tirelessly every single day. And I want to just give a special shout out to Esther Smith, who really, really took the time and pulled these clips out, found them, and got them for us. And so thank you, Esther.
Esther is our absolute potty expert. If you're on any of our Facebook groups or anything and want to know anything about any potty, she does all the transcripts, so she pretty much knows where anything is in each one, and she's some sort of magician with them.
She really is, and she's honestly, hands down, the best proofreader. Yeah. If anyone needs things proofread,
she's amazing.
Esther, nothing, no space, no period, nothing gets by Esther. She spots them all. But this one is for Esther, because Esther also is very aware of what happens on the potty, how it affects the socials, and some of just the audience reaction and our customer reaction. And this little nugget went pretty viral. And it was something that Pearl said. A lot of you don't realize that Pearl and Serene have to come to these podcasts somewhat prepared, knowing what they're going to talk about, and they have to coordinate amongst themselves so that it's not as complete freeform as it might seem. But in this particular instance, Pearl really pulled an amazing golden nugget of wisdom out, and so let's take a listen, because I think this was another one of those phrases that just meant a lot to a lot of people and inspired a lot of people. So here we go.
But when you lose something, you value it. Like, have you ever had to go on without a toilet for a day?
I have.
Oh man.
Oh, I have.
Serene lived in a home without a toilet for a while.
I don't seem to suffer, though, when that happens.
But I went on the way home, I got this feeling like I started to imagine my kitchen again. And I got this welling up inside of me of this joy and this ownership. It was like these four words just kept popping into my head. And that's these four words are what this potty is about.
Ooh, hit us.
I have a kitchen.
Poignant.
I have a kitchen. It's no, good. You guys don't understand.
We don't. Continue.
I have a kitchen?
Oh.
Do you listening here right now have a kitchen?
Come on.
You're so blessed. I mean, a kitchen is like the hugest gift in the world because it's your tool for everything. It's all you need.
Mm. And if you have a kitchen, you probably have some knives. All the tools to chop up those good old Peter Bunny stuff.
And I want to ask you this. This is the next thing. Are you the boss of your kitchen? Let's just say you share it with your husband, okay, but it's still like you're the manager of it. So you mean you don't even have to answer to someone else and like be there.
Like don't open the third drawer on Tuesday.
No. What if you have a kitchen and you're the boss of your kitchen? Oh my goodness, that's so huge.
You're the boss of your kitchen.
Wow. When I was a little girl, you know, I used to play kitchens. And then before I got married, I just envisioned having my own kitchen. I was like, what?
Do you remember when you were engaged and you got a kitchen shower?
And
remember
that? Yes.
And you got your first wooden spoon.
And you pictured yourself in that kitchen and you're like, no way, I'm going to have a kitchen. And then we do get a kitchen. And then we take it for granted. And then we don't even take it for granted. What do?
We loathe it.
We despise it.
What? What? It's more than 5 minute prep time? Can't do it.
Oh, I hate being in the kitchen. Now, don't think I'm you know, like my nose down at you. I've had these same thoughts. Do you know what I'd love with what happened after that potty came out? We got to literally, we became, what happened to the Trim Healthy community after that was just so beautiful. Everyone just started posting their kitchens and the stories behind their kitchens.
Yeah.
And it was real life. And it was, I can't tell you how many times I bowled. And to see these tiny little kitchens maybe in a tiny apartment in New York City. And then these flash kitchens in this big, big room. And then this, you know, old-fashioned kitchen in an 1800s square 1800s log home that used to belong to their great-grandmother. And we got stories and we got reminded of the heart and beauty of a kitchen. I don't know, Serene, you weren't on Facebook at the
you
time, but
me.
I showed
you. You brought me over and you showed me. It was just epic.
It was epic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, man, just reliving. I've forgotten all about that.
But I remember what brought you to that conclusion.
What? Yeah,
well,
that's right.
We had been away on a holiday together, a working holiday. Remember we went to that summit with all those doctors and everything in Las Vegas. And then after that, you went away with your husband alone further another 2 weeks. When I got home halfway through that holiday, I was like, oh my goodness, I love you, kitchen. I remember kissing the countertops. Because you're just so used to, you know, you just can't make your own food. And it just gets
annoying. And at first you love not making your own food.
Oh, yeah. But when you get into that so much, so far, it's like 25 cents extra for one more tablespoon of almond milk. And you got, like, it's just like, you didn't feel like you were the boss of anything you were doing. But then you had to do a whole another 2 weeks of not being able to put anything together.
And I remember
what
it was.
Be the boss of anything you're putting in your mouth.
We went on this, we were in Mexico and we went on this little tour into this really poor village and we were riding horses through there. And I got to look into these little huts where these people live, really humble, just
like
one room
mud
homes,
floor kitchens.
Mud floor. And I looked in and it was like afternoon lunchtime and there was these women standing at these like fire pits in their home, or just really, really, you know, basic. With basic cooking utensils. And there they were standing there. And you could even see the pride in their face. And as we walked past with these horses, they would look out and smile. And I thought, look at them loving their very humble kitchens. And I get to go home and I have a dishwasher and I have all these cupboards. And I just got such a love for my kitchen. And man, I'm glad I heard that again, because even these past few days I've been like, oh, I have to spend more than 10 minutes prep in the kitchen. Poor little me. You know, we need to remind ourselves these things, don't
we? And I remember you came back and you went immediately to the grocery store like you were going to Disneyland. You were so excited to feel your kitchen.
I know.
And like a woman who having a kitchen for the first time, like, oh my goodness, my own oatmeal.
I know.
My own, you know, mineral salt. Wow. Yeah.
Do you think perspective like that comes because, I mean, you guys were well below the poverty line.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and when we say poverty, like, people are like, well, you weren't like starving in a, some, you know, third world situation. It's like, well no, but
we were
like,
I was writing blank checks at Kroger's for food.
And
totally.
And rice was a choice multiple nights in a row because of budget, not because of some belief in this was a superfood spotlight. You know, it was like, that's what you could buy.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I remember you guys were there. Our family was there too. I mean, literally looking at like a, I remember when Netflix came out and it, I think it started at like $7 a month or something. I forget. But I just remember going like, who are the rich people who can just $7 a month? Like it's no big deal. And like to think about like seven a month is sounds like an insignificant number. But I wonder, I mean, there's probably people listening that are like, no, no, no. $7
and especially right now,
a
especially
month,
today, yeah.
Yeah, is a big deal. And you know, I think about like that old saying, you know, blessed are you poor. You know, and it's like, okay, no, it's not like I always misinterpreted to be like, well, if you're like it's more spiritual to be poor. Like you're closer to God or something like that. It's like, all right, well maybe you're not like God's favorite or anything when you're poor. But maybe your brain might be working in ways that are really strong and that you can't appreciate right now.
Well, I just remember, I mean, our first book, the book that birthed the Trim Healthy Movement, was birthed out of two poor kitchens.
Two poor kitchens.
I mean, food stamps included.
At some points, there were food stamps.
That's
included.
Y'all's band name, Two Poor Kitchens.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this, yeah, this
but
whole movement,
the love of
screen, I've never looked at it that way.
Yeah.
It came out of two poor kitchens.
I mean, one was a a cockroach infested trailer home.
Stop yeah, real cockroaches.
No, she was clean.
Yeah.
And she kept a tidy place. Sure. But they had birthed inside her computer and her dishwasher.
The same computer that we wrote Trim
I remember this computer.
Yeah. They connect to the electrical warmth.
Yep.
And then once they get a foothold in trailer homes, like nuclear bomb, her house burnt down in the end. It's the only thing. They tried everything. They spent their like saving pennies on the exterminators.
We tried everything.
Nothing worked. Only the house fire burned it down.
Got rid of the cockroaches.
Yeah.
I know how to get rid of these cockroaches.
But yeah, you know, that's amazing to think of it like that.
Yeah.
This whole movement grew out of two poor kitchens.
I remember my kitchen. We didn't even have air conditioning. So I was just in the heat of the Tennessee summer. Just sweating and huffing and puffing in my kitchen.
We loved our kitchen, Serene. I loved my trailer home kitchen.
Oh.
Every bit of it.
Yeah, and you decorated every month. You were changing the colors and painting motifs on the wall.
You know what else? You guys weren't trying to do a big brand. You were trying to help women find cheap food.
Yeah, we were.
That was literally
that was healthy.
Cheap, healthy food.
Because you couldn't, that was your,
That's
you were
we
solving.
We should have called it cheap and healthy.
Cheap and healthy. Well, you were trying to solve your own problem. That problem was, we want to eat real food from the earth, not processed chemicals, because processed chemicals are affordable.
Yeah.
Real food based on current, like where you're at financially, but also mindset too. Like there is some financial mindset that needs to upgrade, but you were trying to find a cheap health, real food for yourself. And then it's like, well, we found it and obviously it's hard to get. No one else can get it. Why don't we just get lots of it and then we'll sell some of it.
Yeah.
So I thought that's interesting too, is like the necessity and the poverty, really.
Any time that you meet your own need and you can bring that to others is when something is going to take off. Like we didn't try to make Trim Healthy Mama a business.
No.
In fact, at the beginning, we tried not to.
I couldn't even afford diapers. Like that's how bad it was. And I remember the guy who
all bought cloth diapers.
Yes, you and the guy who runs the skincare or started our skincare, Scott Gilmore.
Yeah.
He rounded up a bunch of our other friends. You were probably involved, sounds like. And you went and all brought cloth diapers for me and delivered it to my doorstep when my one of my babies was 2 weeks old. And I was bawling with tears. You also brought some grain for me to make homemade bread with.
I think Lisa was involved in this.
Yeah, it was just beautiful. But I remember, and that was the same time I remember going to visit Pearl, and she was out in the freezing cold morning. Like collecting firewood because they had no gas and heat in the house. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
And that was when the book was finished and ready to be going to the printers.
Yeah, I remember
that whole season.
Right before that. But
yeah, because those diapers were Febreze and she's the baby on the cover.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And your husband was going to Iraq.
He was going to Kuwait, which is the doorknob to hell because it's so hot. They call it the doorknob to hell because it is so hot there.
Yeah.
And unless you wear those white robes that cover everything, you look like, you know, the Arabic robes.
Yeah.
And he was just working out there.
He told me about how exhausting it was. The mechanics would lay under the Hummers that they were repairing and they would tape their hand up to look like they were working on something and they'd fall asleep
because
they were just beat down from the heat. Yeah. Like the only rest was under the Hummer with shade, still the masters expected the work. But like all of the husbands were doing like extreme things.
Oh,
to
I remember
like
Charlie
pull it
getting
off.
Blood. Remember he would sing because he's a country singer.
Yep.
He would sing
in
the weekend.
For money.
Give plasma. Yeah.
Go donate plasma.
But you know, enough about all that. You know, John's got the eyes that we need to wrap this up. But before we do, I was thinking that maybe even when we get Leslie over here and the five of us say something about
The
five of us like say something really quick like to all out because we wouldn't be here if you guys didn't listen in every
thank you
time. I mean, this is not so much about us. We've been talking about ourselves and loving it, but this is about you guys who listen every week. And I guess I'll start then. You know, I think I've even gotten the Facebook group and sometimes apologize the fact that some people say, well, they talk over one another, and I'm like, I'm sorry, but here's what I want to say is We've changed as much as we gonna. This is us. This is us. It's freeform. We're just not going to do a podcast that is just sit there and give you the facts because we wouldn't want to come here and have such a great time. We love this. Like, I love to be together with this potty team and it feels like love to me. And so I just want to thank you for experiencing that love with us every week and for your giving us a go, even if you found us strange at first. And after a while, you kind of got us. I think of you every week as we sit here and I'm like, I think she's listening. And I feel like, wow, we're so honored to just have you join us for this ride.
When Pearl said, I think she's listening, I wanted to say too, yes, we have a great fun chemistry when we get here and we look forward to all kind of like gathering together again. But when I am in the car, driving the one country rough mile to get here, I don't think of just us, the group here, behind the microphones or behind the computers or behind the bell. I think of our potty listeners as this one big reunion that's going to happen every week. And yeah, I think of you guys. And I want to thank you. I do. Along with my sister Pearl, thank you so much for giving us weirdos a go. You know?
That's for
because
sure.
In about 85, you know, buried amongst the weird, there might be a treasure for you. Mm. And here's Belle.
And here's Belle.
Hi, Belle.
Wee Bonnie Lass.
Well, I want to thank all you wonderful listeners, but also I want to thank Pearl and Serene and John and guest Danny, just because I've thanked everyone else.
Yeah.
Thanks,
and
Danny.
There's things that you haven't thought of yet, but
that, right.
It's there.
You've kept, anyway. Okay. So I want to thank John for, he offered me a job in a really crazy transitional time in my life. And without that job, I would not have been able to do all the things and got married and all those things. And I wanted to thank Serene and Pearl because I have come such a long way in the last 5 years. Just, you know, obviously I'm the token heathen, but just in ways that this is hard to explain, but relationship wise and just being grounded and family values and community and all these things that really didn't matter to me before, they weren't priority. And I just to be able to grow and have respect for, wow, am I crying?
Oh.
Wow, why am I doing that? Yeah. And then obviously when, shut up, Wesley.
No, keep it.
When I got to meet some of all you listeners, wonderful mamas, we have to always call them mamas. I know we're Trim Healthy now, but the fact that I had impacted their lives somehow and just that they had a fondness for me and that you had all welcomed me into the potty. I wasn't part of the original lineup here. I came in probably episode 50. I don't know, like somewhere there. But anyway, thank you, everyone. And I guess thank you, Danny, for giving me someone to constantly yell at.
You're welcome.
Because, you know, everyone needs that. All right. Love you, everyone.
But it's
Bye.
The same thing. If Leslie's not here, we feel bereft. Like It's like the five of us have to be here. Now that Ben's sitting in the back, it's going to be a sixer, I think.
Oh, yeah. It definitely is.
But
No.
If Leslie is not,
I'm like.
Even if she's not saying anything.
There's been occasional times when she hasn't been here and I don't even want to show up. And I'm starting to think that about Ben, too. I was getting ready and I'm like, oh, is Ben going to be here? Oh, that'll be fun.
Danny.
Well, gosh. You know, I want to say thank you to the whole world, including you in the room and people listening, because, you know, I knew I wanted to not be a carpenter anymore. Back in the day, you know, I don't know how many years it's been.
You're better than Jesus, Dan.
No,
you think you're better than Jesus.
It's just the scaffolding is so much colder in the north. And I knew I didn't want to do that anymore and that I was getting older and that was, I was just falling into a dark, depressing place in my life. And you know, I had a major reinvention and I knew that I wanted to be who I was as a child. And, you know, for me, that was a performer, somebody that I didn't know what that looked like. I've always been get in the center of the room, put on a show, a ham, class clown, you know, kicked out of school, literally. And so, you know, when you guys invited me to be on this show, you know.
Can I just say one last time we did not invite you, but
We've invited him now, Pearl.
We certainly have now.
When I kicked, when you had no other use for me,
yeah.
And you went, we'll give him a shot. We can't send him out to the wolves. He's got a family. See if he can talk. You know, I really, you know, you can talk about your dreams and what you think you want to do in the world. But then when you have an opportunity to do it, you almost, your self-esteem has to be ready, because mine wasn't at the time. And I couldn't accept that I would bring anything valuable to this podcast. And, you know, to have people quote me or send me a message or a comment on my social media that something I may have said has been significant for them or helpful. It's just hard to believe. It's really, really hard to accept, because of where I've come from. And I just feel like a stowaway on a ship, you know, that, or like Forrest Gump, you know what I mean? Like, he just keeps finding himself like next to the president. What are you doing here? Like, that's literally me. Like, every week, I'm just always like, I mean, I just did a commercial. I can't even talk about it, with some like football legends. I can say that much. It's going to be on in the world during the World Cup, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. And these guys are, I mean, like, I'll casually tell people about it, and then I'll find out like it's somebody's hero. It's somebody. It would be someone's dream to get an autograph, and I'm like in a scene. I'm one of them. You know what I mean? And again, it just feels so unreal. And the best analogy I could give is, it's like I'm a stowaway on a ship. And I've always felt like that. I've always felt like I keep finding myself in these just places of that are just amazing. I'm so grateful to this team and to people listening. I published that book, What If You Could, you know, and it was just a What If You Could experiment. I mean, the book itself, like, you know, like I remember hearing that voice in my head. Oh, now he's an author. Like, you've gone from one job to the next, failing your way through life, and now you're going to pretend to be an author. Oh, you're going to pretend to be an actor too. Does his fantasy know no bounds? You know, but all those things came true, you know, and I feel like they came through because of a small group of Kiwi hillbillies that saw something in me I didn't see, you know. Yeah.
But what I want to say to you, Danny, since we're all getting, you know, emotional here and stuff, is like Serene said, you know, you kind of, this probably launched a lot of, hopefully, your confidence, and you learned that you got a lot to give. And then you kind of, you know, the whole world, a lot of people wanted you, and you're doing big things. And you know, for a while you were jet sitting around the world, and we kind of didn't even have you for a while. And then we like pleaded with you to come back, and you're like, guys, can't stay away from you. And you come back, and you know, you, in the week you're out traveling and doing a lot of stuff, but you come back to us. And we thank you for that, because I know now, you know, with big wigs and all of that, but we love having you here.
Mm-hmm. It's my best gig, sister. I get to just chill with my fam and drink tea and talk about life.
Do you remember that? Our first potties, you were the tea maker.
Oh, yeah.
That was your official thing. I mean, we need to get back on that. And we mix do. It. Yeah.
And it was loose leaf.
It was.
I didn't bring no bags.
It was strong. I would fly high. I don't know what you put in it. I remember being out cracked. Of my body.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I would have to walk home. I couldn't drive.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. John.
Yeah. Oh, wow. One of the things that is most precious to me in life is the art of conversation. And it's always been important to me. And the last 3-4 years has just proven to me how important it is, because conversation, just public conversation, private conversation, professional conversation, is just tamped down and attacked. We don't have as much conversation anymore as we have narratives. And so in business, business is like, is like being on stage. I mean, you're performing when you're in business. Everything's public facing, and sometimes it's scripted and blah blah blah. And business starts to fail when there's no conversation. And this piece of Trim Healthy Mama has never, this podcast piece has never felt like business. It's always felt like conversation. Mm-hmm. And it's also, you know, I look at a lot of things behind the scenes, and it's also one of the, if not the only piece of the organization that has just continually grown. Even our products, you know, sometimes they'll be spikes, and we'll sell more of this week, and then it'll dip the next week, and it's always ups and downs. But the podcast audience has always just continually grown. There's more people listening this week than there were last week, and to me, that just validates how important conversation is. Because despite we've got ads in this podcast and all, and we sure would love for you to go to the store and purchase our products, but that's not what this podcast is about. It's about Danny, what if you could ing through life, and Leslie and Serene peeing in the shower, and Pearl not peeing in the shower.
She pees now.
It's been a big, huge conversation, and that conversation wouldn't be possible if you, all of you, didn't keep listening, and you keep listening every week.
I know, it's amazing to me sometimes, because I think, oh my goodness, Serene said that, we're going to lose some more, but actually we gain some more. So, John, I want to thank you for all your diligence and for actually bringing this about. You brought this about, even when Serene and I thought, what the heck do we have to do this and why?
He's been the backbone. Yeah.
The backbone. And every week, John and I get together and it's like, clickbait, it's Monday night. What are we going to call this thing? John is the most loyal, diligent person. He's the backbone of our company. And he's incredible. I also want to shout out to Tim. You guys never hear Tim.
You know what? I'm so glad you did that, because I wasn't going to let this go without mentioning Tim Scott.
We were talking to Tim a lot, but he's like Charlie's Angels, because you never see his face.
He really is. Tim, I'm talking directly to you. You are the backbone of this podcast.
People don't
see you and they don't hear you, but man, this thing would not happen every week if it wasn't for you. So,
can we give Tim permission to record one sentence at the end of this podcast
so that
Tim,
people can
you better
hear
speak,
him?
Bro. Yeah.
Tim, say thank you
Tim,
to the people.
Tim, take it away and take us out of here.
And also, we all said our thing. Now it's your thing, Tim.
Yeah. Hey, imagine Tim though, like going on for like 20 minutes, and like just like his diary.
You realize how dangerous this is. He can say anything.
He can say anything.
Yeah. We're not going to hear it. This is a turnaround. We are recording this Tuesday afternoon late. It's going live tomorrow morning.
It goes out midnight.
It's going out at midnight tonight.
Oh my goodness, Tim.
Yeah,
Tim, I just want to say freedom to your brother. Anything you want to say. Yeah. Girls tried to hold me back, but Tim, you can release it for me.
Ladies and gentlemen, the final word goes to Tim Scott.
It is tempting, Serene, to release it, but not today. I'd like to be involved in the next 300 episodes. So really quick, just want to say congratulations. Thanks for all the laughs, food advice, and life lessons. And here's to many, many more potties.